We read this morning from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. In Jesus' name, beloved of God. When Martin Luther became a priest in 1507, he was 23 years old, and he was a troubled young man. You see, Luther had been taught that Jesus was a new lawgiver, and a harder one to live up to than Moses, since Moses dealt often with outward behavior, and Jesus with the heart. And whereas God had prescribed the offerings to be brought for the people's sin in the Old Testament, Father Martin, as a priest, was never sure if his sacrifices were sufficient and acceptable to God. What a joy it was then, as he studied the Bible, to find out that he did not need to be his own or anybody's priest to offer sacrifices to God. For Jesus came not to be a new Moses, but to be a priest, the great high priest, to offer the perfect sacrifice to God for all sin, for all time. When Martin Luther learned this truth, the Reformation had begun in his heart. The writer to the Hebrews was concerned about the same thing. He was concerned about questions like, does God really accept Jesus' sacrifice? His death, his sufferings, as a payment for sin? For all sin, and therefore also for my sin? Can Jesus really serve as our priest and straighten things out for us with God? Or are we just fooling ourselves with a lot of optimistic words and good-sounding phrases? Whenever a diplomat from a foreign country comes to set up an office in Washington, D.C., it is important that he be acceptable not only to the people back home that he represents, but he also has to be acceptable to the U.S. government. If the U.S. government objects to an ambassador, he will be sent home and another sent in his place. If we all like Jesus and want him to represent us before the throne of God, that's good. That was one of the first requirements of the priesthood in the Old Testament, that the priest be chosen from among the people, that he might truly feel for them and represent them before God. But a second requirement was that he be acceptable to God, chosen by God, and not simply by popular opinion. If Jesus, all on his own, came to God on behalf of sinners with his offering, even the offering of his own life, it would be like the convicted criminal standing before the judge and insisting on sentencing himself. But Jesus did not sentence himself. On the contrary, these words from Hebrews today remind us of how in the Garden of Gethsemane he prayed earnestly that the cup of suffering might be taken from him. He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. His sweat was like great drops of blood falling to the ground. All alone in the darkness, he prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." and his prayer was heard. The fact that Jesus still had to die did not mean that his Father had not heard him. But there was no other way to make peace between God and mankind. Instead of removing the suffering, an angel appeared to strengthen Jesus for the suffering. And looking up to the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross for you and for me to be delivered on the third day. And so as Adam once learned to know good and evil by succumbing to evil with all of its consequences, so also Jesus as a human being learned to know obedience in the things he suffered. When Jesus suffered, he was walking in the way of obedience to his heavenly Father. And if we think that obedience to God sometimes leads to suffering, well, Jesus knows what that is like. He can sympathize with that. He understands because he learned the same thing by experience. But there was a good purpose to the innocent suffering and a wonderful result. When he was made perfect, complete, when his obedience had brought the full measure of suffering, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. That is, for all who hear and follow his word, who rely on his priestly sacrifice for their standing and peace with God. Thus our Savior is everything that Israel's priests of old once pictured. But even better than that, he was not just one people's priest, as those priests were. He is the priest for all. He has become the source of eternal salvation to all who listen to him. So Martin Luther did not need to depend on the emperor's approval. And we too do not need to depend on people's applause, or even on how we may feel about ourselves at a particular moment. Our position with God is secured through Christ. It is complete. It is perfect. Amen. Hymn 32, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Hymn 32, 1, 3, and 4.